Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Amen. I thought I would give you praise for speaking to us, for showing us that you're with us. Father, we exalt your holy name because we know that you're always with us to comfort us, to instruct us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to prove your mighty love for us always. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the ears that have heard this word, O Lord, that they will obey, O Lord. They will carry out your instructions in thanksgiving and praise and in holiness. We give you glory, for it's in Jesus' mighty name we worship. Amen. 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 Can we have our seats, everyone? Good morning, everybody. Happy New Month. Can you tell somebody Happy New Month? Welcome to the month of March. Before we know it, it will be in April. Before we know it, it will be in May and June and July, and we'll say Happy New Year again. Amen? Amen. This morning, what's before us is the miracles of Jesus. How many of us know that Jesus is still in the business of doing miracles? Many of us, we are sure that Jesus is still in the business of doing miracles. He did not quit. He did not retire. Amen? Amen? Jesus still does miracles. And this month, at least for three sessions, today is the first one, we'll be looking at some miracles of Jesus and seeing what we can learn from it. Because no two miracles that Jesus did are the same. They don't require the same thing from man. They don't teach man the same thing. And it is my hope that as you listen today, that you will have something to take home for your life that you can also apply to your life, as Jesus is still in the business of doing miracles. So he will still require some things from you. And so on that note, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We'll be reading from verse 21 to 32. Mark chapter 5, from verse 21 to 32. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed and thronged him. And a woman had a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around and in the crowd said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'See the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see who had done this thing.'" Verse 33, let's keep reading. "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Verse 35. "And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talita kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with amazement. Amen. So here we have two stories in one. The church has thought a lot about the second story, actually. But here we have Jesus, after he crossed the sea, he was going to the house of a man called Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter was sick. And so, as he was on his way, as usual, as Jesus was back then, a lot of people started to follow him and follow him and follow him, plus his disciples. And then we see the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And that was an instantaneous miracle that came from an expression of faith, great faith, that this woman had. And she got her miracle. And a lot of times we read this story and we tend to stop here because it's a powerful expression of faith, right? But Jesus was going somewhere. He was on his way somewhere before this happened. And so Jesus continued his journey. But by the time he started going to where he was going to, after he has interacted with the woman and told her that her faith had made her whole, and he now proceeded to continue to where he was going to, the situation had changed. The situation as well, it had changed. The girl was no longer sick. She had now died. And at this point, something else has to happen. Because what Jesus was going to do was to heal, right? Now, he's no more going to heal. The assignment has changed. For this girl to be restored, he has to go and raise her up from the dead. And what I want to speak to you about today, very briefly, is three major voices that you have to war against when you are expecting a miracle from Jesus. Three what? Voices. Now, these voices can come from inside. They can also come from outside. Amen? Three types of voices that you have to war against. Very important. And if you can do this, you would see that you would have a much easier time understanding both who God is and how he works, but also how to connect your faith with him. So the first voice you have to deal with is the voice of doubt and fear. The voice of what? Of doubt and fear. And we can see that in what Jesus did and how he dealt with this situation. So if you look at verse 36, let's read from verse 35. Can you go to verse 35? I don't want to be going back and forth. It says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is what? Is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not what? Be afraid, only believe. We notice that this is the first statement that we actually hear Jesus utter to this man. Jesus was going to the man's house, but we don't see any interaction between him and Jesus per se. What we just hear is that the man said his daughter was ill, and Jesus agreed to what? To go to the house. But as soon as somebody came to utter a word of doubt, Jesus had to tell him what? Do not be what? Afraid, only believe. Because the man had faith enough for healing. But it does not mean that he had the faith for what? For resurrection. And so once this voice came and said, why are you disturbing the master any further? The girl has what? She has died. The situation has changed. Leave the master alone. The natural thing would be for the man to start mourning. Right? It's too late. If only I had come earlier, maybe the situation would have been different. And Jesus immediately pulled him aside and did what? Told him, do not be afraid, only believe. The only remedy for the voice of fear is the words of Jesus. The words of who? Of Jesus. The only remedy for the voice of doubt is also the words of who? Of Jesus. And the words of Jesus today are written in his word. And so when you're expecting something from God, and there's either an internal voice of fear or doubt, or an external voice of fear, you do not tackle that voice with logic or sense. Amen? You tackle that voice with what? With the word of God. Which means you have to know exactly what God says about you. and your situation. When the devil is coming and saying it is not possible for that thing to happen. When the devil, I gave this example on Wednesday teaching about something else. But when the devil comes and you are looking for a job and you've been applying and applying, and the devil comes and says, you will never get employment. Your reply to the devil is not, no, I have one connect. My uncle said I should come and bring my CV. And if I bring my CV, he will take me to this office. And then they will employ me. That's not a response to the devil. You don't respond to the devil with your brain. Amen? You respond to the devil with what? With the word of God. That's how Jesus tackled him. And that's how we should all tackle him. The voice of doubt and the voice of fear should be tackled with what? With the word. And so you have to know what the word says. You have to know what the promises of God are for your life. That is something that the pastor cannot do for you. The job of the Christian leader is not to become your God. It's to point you to who?
To God.
So you have to know God for yourself. And that means you have to go into this word and you have to start to read it. And you have to take it seriously. And when you see a promise about your health, you write it down somewhere. You can spend the whole day meditating on one just one verse that has a promise for you. And what does it mean to meditate? It's not the human Eastern religion meditation. You don't cross your legs and do your hand like this and do no. Meditation is repeating those words like you are chewing on it. When I was in secondary school, they taught us about ruminant animals, right? Goats. I said, what do? The herbivores. Says they will eat food, then they what? They will bring it out, and then they what? They will chew it again. They call this rumination, right? So that same word has been translated into colloquial English, which it means to literally take the word of God inside, bring it out again through what? Through your mouth. Confess it, then think about it again. Then bring it out again and what? Think about it until it sinks. Until it sinks. Until you can quote it off heart. And so that when a situation meets you, that word can answer, you have that word for that situation. And you say, that's not what the Bible says about me. What God says is this, 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 and what? And this. He says his plan for me is that he has given me a hope and a future. And an expected what? An expected end. That's what he said. He said, my thoughts for you are thoughts of good and not of evil. So you can reject the voice of doubt. Because the voices of doubt are always there. They don't go away. Oh. They are always what? They are always there. So what's the second voice that I want you to talk about now? I want to speak to you about rather. It's the voice of distraction. Distraction. This what? Distractions. And we see it in the next action that Jesus took after this. Go to verse 37. Immediately after he told him to just believe, the next thing he did was he permitted no one to follow him except who? Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He eliminated 3/4 of what? Of the disciples, plus all the crowd that were following him from where he was coming from. He what? He cut them off. He took just 3 people. Now, we don't know the level of faith of the remaining 9 at this point in time. We cannot say whether Peter, James, and John, because they were the closest to him, might have been the only ones that could take what was about to happen. We can't say. That's just speculation. What we know is that Jesus felt it necessary to what? To thin the crowd. And at every situation in your life, you also have to be able to thin what? The crowd. And there are 2 ways you can thin the crowd. The first is you have to control your tongue. There are people that you are expecting something from God and you are telling everybody in your family, everybody in your office. Any single person that you can meet, you will say, oh, this is my expectation. This is what I want. It's not a sustainable way to live your life. Amen? Amen. You have to control your what? Your tongue. You cannot just go and be speaking and just talking anyhow because you don't know who is who. Even other Christians, they might not be bad people, but they may not have the faith for what you are believing God for. So why are you sharing? the most discouraging people to Christians sometimes is other Christians. The devil uses Christians, oh. Other Christians. When you say this is what I'm expecting from God, and somebody does not have the faith for that yet, and the person will be telling you, are you sure? We'll get to that last voice. There's a third voice, but we'll get there soon. So control your what? Your tongue. And the second thing you can do is to spend time in isolation with God. Being alone is good. Amen? It's good. Spend time alone with God. When God is saying, this is what I want to do, whether you received it from the word of God or you saw it in a dream or the prophecy came to you, as some people have received this morning, whatever the medium that God speaks, and God speaks in diverse ways, learn to spend time alone with what? With God. It's not for other people, it's for you. So take the time out and just spend time with Him. And cut out all the distractions. Distractions can be other people. Distractions can be activities and things. Thin the crowd. Because Jesus knew that it was not sustainable to be carrying these people to where he was going at this point in time. And so he did not permit them to follow him. And so you also have to make sure that you eliminate what? The voices of distraction. And the third voice that I want to speak to you about, the most deceptive voice, is the voices of acceptance. Of what? Acceptance. The voices that want you to accept the situation that you are currently in. The reason why it's the most deceptive voice is because it can come as caring. It can come like a voice of care. And these ones are the ones that the devil really uses. When you are believing God for another step, and some people are telling you, but you're okay where you are. Those are the voices of what? Acceptance. You will never really know who is really with you in a particular situation until you're about to climb. Until you're about to climb. Whether it's in the area of health or healing, or in the area of promotion or provision, no matter what area in your life you're believing God for a miracle, until you're about to take the next step and you say, okay, this situation must change, you will not know who is for you or who is against you. Because some people, they are comfortable with your discomfort. And they just want you to remain there. And they'll be kind, in air quotes. They'll be nicest to you just to keep you what? Where you are. And the day that your spirit wakes up and says, oh, I need another thing from God, that's when you know who they really are. And we have those people here. The voices of acceptance, they are here. Let's keep reading. Verse 38. It says, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who what? Who wept and wailed loudly. I'll tell you about these people a little later. And when he came, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Let's look at the next verse. And they ridiculed him. King James says, and they laughed him to scorn. I'll tell you what that laughed him to scorn. Why? It says, but when he had put them all outside, eliminated them too, then he took the father of the child and only those three disciples, and they are the ones that went inside where the child was what? Was lying. It says that they laughed him to scorn. You know what scorn is? Scorn is a very deep-seated hatred. And the question is, why did they laugh him to scorn? Well, it's not just because on the surface they were happy with the man's situation. It's because this is their job. So something you have to understand is that in ancient Jewish time, even in some of our traditional times, right, today, we have what you call professional mourners. Professional mourners, they are paid to come and what? To come and cry and wail. That's their job. So they are paid, giving some form of compensation so that they can come and cry and wail when someone dies or when there's a situation. It's work, right? And Jesus saying that the child is only sleeping, he has come to spoil somebody's business. Am I right? He has come to spoil someone's business. But you see, the thing about Jesus is He is an expert at spoiling people's businesses. Read your whole Bible. It's what he does. He does it for fun. He's an expert because he can't stand injustice. He said he went into the temple. What did he go to the temple to do when he carried whip? It's not to spoil people's business. When you read the story of the man with the legion of demons, and you see that he casted the demons into pigs, and then the pigs went into the sea. No, you need to understand, you know, in that time, that was Jewish land, right? The Jews don't rear pigs. So those pigs were owned by who? By Gentiles, the people that were not Jewish. And church tradition would tell you that those people were there subjugating the people there and doing things illegally. That's the most likely scenario there. That there was a rich person that had what? A big business. 2,000 pigs is not a joke, right? And was doing that on Jewish soil, subjugating them. So what did Jesus go and do? He killed two birds with one stone. He healed somebody and he spoiled somebody's business. And that's the reason why when the people of the town heard, what did they say? If you can do this one in one day, just carry your Allah and what? Be going. So Jesus is an expert in spoiling people's business. And if you think about it in your life, he has spoiled some people's business over your life. Because there are some things that have happened to you that some people have said, it will never happen. Some people have said, over my dead body, this person will not achieve this thing. This person will not make headway in life. And God did it. He didn't spoil their business. He has spoiled their business, and he will keep spoiling their business in Jesus' name. For every step, he will keep spoiling what? The business of those voices that mask themselves as acceptance. They can look like they are very caring on the surface. But when you want to take a step of faith, when you are getting closer to your miracle, that's when you will know. This one is not for me. And when Jesus stepped on the scene for the miracle for this girl, it was clear that all these mourners were not interested in Jairus' family. They didn't care about him. Not really. They just wanted what they would gain. It's only Christ that can be assured to be unselfishly loving for us. Human beings, we are selfish. We are either selfish or we are diabolical or somewhere on the scale. I say it a lot because it's true. It's only the Spirit of God in the Christian. If the Christian allows the Spirit of God to actually do that work, that can say they are not selfish. But even we Christians, we still end up living selfish lives. Because we don't let the Spirit of God work in us. And our natural state is selfishness. So it's either you are selfish or you are diabolical. You are actively working with the devil or you are passively working with the devil. That's just humanity. It's only Christ that we can know we have an assurance that his love and his care for us is genuine and complete. And he will never do anything to harm you. And so reject the voices of what? Of acceptance. Everybody here has something that they are believing God for. And they are trusting him. As we know, you know he will do it. Reject any voice, whether direct or indirectly, that tells you that you are okay where you are. That it is fine. Reject any voice that limits the God that created this entire universe. That used one night to take Joseph from a prisoner to the head of state of a country. One night. Reject any voice that tells you that our God cannot do the same for you. Are we together? Reject any voice that says he can't do it. Because he can. It doesn't cost him anything. It doesn't cost him anything. But we have to make sure that we don't limit him. We don't limit him. So those are the three voices from this miracle. Amen? The voice of doubt and fear. Voices of distractions. And the voices of acceptance. Voices of acceptance. Once you see it, run away from... If it's people, run away from such people. Run away from them. No matter where they are. They can be family members. Run away from them. These are the stuff to hear, but it's true. They can be family members. Run away from them. They can be colleagues in the office. Run away from them. Avoid them. Because those kind of people are being used by the devil to basically keep you in mediocrity. Run away from them. And once you do that, and it's just you and your God and your faith before him, Jesus will do it. He doesn't have anything stopping him anymore. Once he had eliminated every distraction and he has been able to build up Jairus' faith, and they entered that room, he just spoke one word. He said, what? Talita kumi. And what happened? The girl stood up. And immediately she started serving them. Because she was 12. And the Bible says they were astonished. Right? And it is what is astonishing that man calls miracle. But for Jesus, it's every day. It's his life. And so the lesson for us today is, the thing that we can explain the steps to, it's not a miracle. Amen? If you come out here, or we have a testimony Sunday, and you come out, and your testimony is, I did this, 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 then I now manipulated this here, and did it here, and did this here, then I now got that thing. It's not a what? It's not a miracle. Right? Because you are saying, I, Abby. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. Then you know. When God wants to do something, he moves on your what? On your behalf. Yes, he takes some things from you, but you cannot say it's your power. You cannot say you did it. Yes, you believe in him, sure. Yes, you take steps in faith, sure. This man did. But no matter what he did, Jesus had to be present before that girl could stand up. Right? And Jesus too has to be present in your situation before he can change. What you have to make sure is that it is just you and who? And Jesus. And every other distraction out the window, every voices of doubt and fear, tackle with the word of God. Every voice of acceptance, don't worry, it's fine the way it is. Throw them away so that you can obtain what God truly has for you. He's a God of miracles. Let's rise up. There's a song that says, I am serving a God of miracles. I know, yes, I know. He's not dead. He's still alive. He's still alive. And if you allow him, he will do it. Amen? The miracles of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to bless God this morning. Thank him for what you have heard. Thank him because you know that he himself is the one that has spoken to you today. I want you to exalt his holy name. I want you to bless him. I want you to say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. La brusca da friske de 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 sa. Vuba friske de banda barabashi de diske. Barabasundo Gorobasha Draza Siske de Bushe Brebese Vera Siske de Busha Barabasa Gadatisha Barabash and Descadesha Evashanda Garabusco Tosha Barabasa Gadden de Grehescadesha. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I want you to pray two prayers. I want you to pray that, Lord, every voice inside me that is against your word for me and your plan for me, I silence in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we quiet every voice, O Lord, speaking on our inside, saying, O Lord, that you can Wait. Mazakaskarashe. Planting worry, planting fear, planting anxiety in your children, oh Lord. Mazakaskaradaskara. We silence those voices. Mizagashegaskerebosha. Verabashaskarabosha barabandigeriskete. Evarabashaskaradashe. Zekota barabashiskere. Jedo barabashiskarabosha de day. Evanda garabashiskarabashe de day. Evosa barabashaskarabosha de day. Is agara ba riske de baradan dige de de jita riske de disco to shaba evanda ga riske de bosco to shaba evranda riske de deisha daskata evondo guru ba riske de deisha evrusco to shada sadasa. In Jesus name we have prayed. I want us to pray that, oh Lord, every person that is being used by the devil to discourage me, to discourage me, to destabilize my faith, Lord, by your power, take them away from my life. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. My raskada dos kotoshe vanda baraba. Ivre shriskere de gere. Jakada raskada vo. Banda barabu, Ivarabashe Bashiske de Bosha Baraba, Zegashiske de Descate, Nivronda Shaskarada Garada de Garada, Jitosha Brasse Gashiske de Deshada, Evrondo Gorobasha Shiske de Bosco Tosha Baraba, Zakara Shanda Garabosco Tosha Baraba, Jegashiske de Bosha Tassitende, in the Shaskarabu. Gasa, Vota Shate, Ashiske de Bosha Dadasa, Veta Shataraba, Rusco de Bosha Dadasa, Izatosha Baraba Shaska Dadasa Dada, Evedebo Shutazada Tasa Dadasa Dada, Evaraba Shutazagada Tasa Dadasa Dada, Evaraba Shutarada Tasa Dadasa Dada, Evaraba Shutarada Sada Tasa Dada, Evrusco Toshe Baraba Shiske de Discatamba, Evranda Shiske de Bosco Doge Brahaska Dambaha, Vrunda. Riske de Bosco Doshe Brahanda Garahaskara, Evrundo Rosiketisha, Evrundo Goshiketisha, Rotokoro Bashiketisha, of Rusco do Bashiketisha, Evraska Shaskara Bombre Hese Tezegede. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Our Father, we give you all the glory. We thank you, we magnify your name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've said to us this morning. Thank you for giving your children the grace to imbibe your words. Obedience is key, Lord Jesus. Give them the grace to obey. I speak to every weak will in this assembly that everybody receives strength so that we can do what you ask of us, so that we can receive your miracles. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.